if Jill turns out to be this really dark, creepy, staring contest girl of few words who can move things with her mind, this girl is perfect.
Hello, I'm your host, Rillian.
I'm Glumpuddle.
And I'm Jimfan.
Narnia casting rumor!
Yeah,
what?
So Glumpuddle is going to start us off with some breaking news. And it's not actually, as of now, it is not on the front page.
Oh, it's actually not, in terms of Narnia Web, it's actually not breaking news yet because I haven't posted the story yet. I'll probably post it right after recording this. But basically we have that #show.com claims to have the inside scoop on Silver Chair casting. And they say that Millie Bobby Brown, best known for her role in the Netflix series Stranger Things, was offered the role of Jill Pohl earlier this year. And we should make it clear. All they say is she was offered the role earlier this year. They don't know if she accepted. They don't know if anything came of that. So basically that's the rumor, that at some stage she was in talks to play Jill. And that's all we know. But either way, true or not, and it might be by the time this gets edited and it will be been debunked at that point, but it whatever, we can still talk about it and have fun with it anyway.
Yeah.
Now, Glumpuddle, you kind of explained to me earlier, what are some good reasons, let's say, for example, this is entirely legitimate. Let's say the rumor is 100% true. What are some reasons maybe to not just say, oh my goodness, now it's happening? What if someone were to say that, how should we really look at this? Let's say it is true.
I guess I would just say this could easily be true that she was offered the role, but this was months ago. This could be a really outdated story at this point. It could be they've long since moved on from this and they've talked to other actresses, or maybe they've even hit a total standstill as far as casting. And really should emphasize that the rumor, that what's being reported here, is not that Millie Bobby Brown has been cast as Jill. It's that at some point earlier this year, she was offered the role. And at the time of this recording, that's not even confirmed. It's just a rumor.
Jimfan, what are your thoughts on this? Is this the first time you're hearing it?
No, I mean, well, Glumpuddle sent me the news article, the rumor article, I should say, earlier today. So I've had a little
really,
bit
really
of time.
Hot off the presses here.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of time to think about it. My first reaction was, oh, that's really cool. Because I had never, considered, I've not even really started to even think about casting. I guess I always operated under the assumption that they're going to do what they did before, which is cast more unknown actors and actresses for the main roles, except maybe for some of the adults. And so I wasn't even thinking in terms of what kids are there out there that could maybe be potentially cast in this movie. So when I saw this, and then I was reading the article a little bit more, and they were explaining, yeah, if they want to go for someone with name recognition, this is one of your more famous, or maybe the most famous, child actresses out there right now. It's a good person to go for. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually. And plus, I think she's a fantastic actress. So I could totally see them being like, okay, we need a short list of people if we can approach. Let's talk to all of them, or let's talk to her specifically, or whatever. I could totally see that happening.
It is kind of interesting. I think it shows that I haven't seen Stranger Things, by the way. maybe I will now. But
dun dun dun. You should.
I'll think about it.
I liked it.
But it kind of, maybe just for this, I'll watch
if she gets cast, you'll definitely have to do it.
Yeah. But I think it shows, at least they're considering, maybe they're taking the role seriously. They want, maybe, if this is true, they want some actors who have genuine talent, and they're not just trying to throw the role away, maybe, which it sounds kind of lame to say that anyone would ever, or to imply that any filmmaker would ever do that. But I think there's certainly lots of roles we can think of in big name movies where they really didn't put much thought into the acting talent of the actor or actress for it. And so, I think that sometimes you can, I think that this shows that they're just, they're considering it, but it also shows that maybe they're not intentionally steering away from more well-known actors. I think that's one of the strengths of, say, The Force Awakens, was that they decided their two new leads were going to be almost completely unknown actors. And that's a kind of a strategic move, perhaps on the marketing side and to a certain extent on the storytelling side. So I think this shows that on that end of it, they're keeping an open mind, or at least they were 5 months ago.
Well, see, I think I'm kind of on the other side. As a fan, I prefer unknowns because I like to just go to the theater and say, that's Jill, and not think, oh, that's Eleven from Stranger Things. And so that's what I'd prefer. At the end of the day, if I go see it and I like it, and yeah, that's right for the character, then it is what it is. I'm not going to complain. But people ask all the time, oh, you do a podcast about casting choices, about who you think should do all the different roles, and I tend to not want to do that because, well, I want somebody unknown, so I can't give you the list of unknown names. And Rillian just decided to step away from the microphone, and we'll just wait for him to get back.
Whoops. Pause. That's okay. It's a podcast.
And then Rillian totally fell on his face. It was hilarious.
No. Sorry. Yeah. I realized that anyway. I had the baby monitor on in the corner. I thought, oh, I better turn that off.
Okay.
My wife is upstairs with the baby. He's not abandoned. He's fine.
All right, I'll just pick it up from there. Yeah. People ask all the time, oh, do a podcast about what casting choices you want for the Silver Chair. And for me, the problem is, well, I want unknowns mostly. So I can't really give you the list of unknowns I would like to see in the movie.
It was purely an observation on, I think, the strategy they're taking. I think that one of the strengths of when you pick new actors for stories, like they largely did with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, really almost all their leads, is it really lets them own the story in a kind of new way. I think that's one of the strengths of The Lord of the Rings. I mean, arguably, you had some big name actors there, but there were so many characters that were so new. It kind of brought everyone else along with them.
Yeah, and I can see them looking at the other, you know, the Walden trilogy as we're calling it now, and saying, okay, what can we learn from that? What did maybe they try that didn't really work out? Maybe they're looking at it and saying, well, yeah, it was all there, kind of like you pointed out, Jim Phan. It was all the big roles, like Tilda Swinton as the White Witch and Liam Neeson as Aslan, those were the established stars. They didn't really have any, like Will Poulter probably had the most star power of anyone, and he didn't have very much. But he'd been in a couple of things that were moderately
Anna Popewell
successful.
Had more credits than he did when she was cast.
But she certainly was not like a big recognizable face, you know.
Yeah,
neither was Will Poulter. But yeah, I think he probably had the most, which wasn't very much. So I can see them saying, well, let's try to anchor the cast with an established star in the main child role. Which probably furthers my kind of perception of the movie that, okay, they're going in kind of the big blockbuster direction. That's been kind of the question all along, is this going to be kind of the small, lower budget Silver Chair kind of independent film, or is it going to be another Hollywood blockbuster? And this probably steers me in the direction of, if this is true, oh, they're probably going more in the blockbuster direction.
I think from a purely like business standpoint, it's definitely a choice that people make when they decide to go for unknowns versus established talent, because it makes a lot of difference in how you market a film. When you have established talent, you get to market it around the actor, actress a lot more, because they in and of themselves are a public brand. So people will, they will be able to promote the film based on their own name. But then a downside, which I think this is what actually comes into play a lot of times when big franchises do cast unknowns, just because sometimes I think when you cast unknowns up front, you get to pay them less. Like established stars with credits tend to come with a much heftier price tag just because they're worth more. So, which is what surprised me when I saw Millie Bobby Brown was potentially in talks for Narnia, because I was like to me, I feel like she would be quite expensive. And the Narnia film, as of yet, it doesn't seem like it's something that's got this like enormous, like huge production budget. I could be wrong, but just from like what I've been seeing, I was like, okay, that's quite, I could see them like being like, okay, we want to get one really big star, and so we're going to put our money here on her, and then maybe go for, in other directions for the other characters? Or
I mean, like, she had a hit with Stranger Things, and she got nominated for an Emmy, I think. But, I mean, she's not Johnny Depp.
No, not at all.
Like, I've never heard of this person. And I had no idea what – I have no idea what this person looks like.
I mean,
I think she has stuff lined up. Like, I think as of probably last year – she was more of an unknown because last year was when the first season came out.
Since then,
she's been like getting more stuff lined up.
I think it'll be more telling when we actually see a confirmed.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We'll see. We have a better idea of what the casting direction is going to be like, and maybe a bit more for the overall film.
Well, just the thing about child actors though is you have very limited options. I think it's easier just to go, well, let's just go with an unknown, because it's such a — it really becomes less about finding someone with acting ability. Obviously, that's important. It's more about finding someone who — it's just who they are is right for the character. Like, Georgie Henley was just kind of playing herself when she was playing Lucy. And it's really hard to find an actor who's so young who can cope with, like, let me imagine having to sustain their interest for months and keep them enthusiastic and excited. And a film set is a very stressful environment, and there's hundreds of people sometimes surrounding you, and they point lights in your face and they say, do this, okay, do it 10 more times, and have the same amount of energy, and do a real performance. Don't just say the lines, like, really emote, really perform, really be this character. It's a huge ask of someone that young. And speaking of her age, by the way, she's 13 years old, which I guess means she'll — if they were to film, we'll go into when they're filming, which would be next year, as Joe Johnson recently said. So I guess she'll be 14 then when they start filming.
Actually going on 15.
That's on the old side. Like, I picture Anna Popplewell, like how Anna Popplewell was in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. For me, that's too old for Jill. I imagine Jill being — Skander Keen as Edmund in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I imagine Jill being that age, or maybe even a little bit younger. It's always very tempting, because of all the reasons I just pointed out, to steer the age of a character kind of as old as you can get away with, because it's just easier for them to deal with the daily stresses of a film set and a movie and still turn out a performance. It's always really tempting to do that. So I would hope that they would find someone younger than her, ideally.
For me, when I think about Jill, I don't usually have an age, but it's not usually super young. It tends to be a little bit older. So to me, 13, 14 would be like about right for me.
Well, just as far as her acting, all I can say is, if Jill turns out to be this really dark, creepy, staring contest girl of few words who can move things with her mind, this girl is perfect. I know that much.
So now I have to watch Stranger Things.
And that's all I can say. I definitely thought she was very good in Stranger Things, but I don't think there's much there that would tell me, oh, she's going to be good for Jill. I also overall enjoyed Stranger Things. I think you actually enjoyed it more than I did, Jim Fan, right?
I really liked it.
I was into it, but the ending was a little disappointed. But I definitely wanted to keep, you know, the —
and you haven't even seen the second season yet.
Don't spoil it for me. I've not seen season two yet. So I know Eleven comes back, but I don't know what happens after that. So anyway, certainly if she gets cast as Jill, I'll have to obviously watch it. So wait and see. Takes us back to the Nicole Kidman days. I guess you weren't there. For that, Jim Fan.
I was not around for that, but I've heard of it.
The battle.
But when Nicole Kidman was rumored to be playing the White Witch, which obviously turned out not to be true.
And Brian Cox, wasn't it?
Yeah, for Aslan.
Brian Cox is Aslan. And then this could end up being just one of those stories.
Yeah. So in terms of the overall discussion, there's actually a lot of topics that we can go through. And if we wanted to, we could spend tons of time on. But there was a Joe Johnston interview at Comic-Con Paris.
We are planning to shoot it in New Zealand next winter. It's a little bit darker than the other Narnia films. The Silver Chair was the darkest of the books, I think. I don't want it to look like the other films. I want an audience to look at the Silver Chair and think this is a whole new vision of the Chronicles of Narnia. I don't even want to reference the other films.
Okay.
It's like it's starting a whole new thing.
If they were to start filming about a year from now, so then it releases maybe late 2019 or early 2020 kind of range. if that plan pans out.
I just feel like, to me, it feels like the film is still in that very vague pre-production stage where there's not a lot of stuff that's actually been like nailed down in terms of like
pre-production.
Yeah, it's like it's not even in pre-production. So for me, I take all of these things with a grain of salt because it's all subject to change.
Including the casting, of course.
Yes, including the casting.
So I will say, really quick, in one of the videos, if you watch the whole video, he mentions, he's asked about storyboards, and he says, oh, well, it was just a few weeks ago, I was drawing up some, I was having someone work on some storyboards with me, and you would assume that would be for The Silver Chair. So apparently the script is far enough along to where they can actually start storyboarding specifically, how are we going to shoot this? So that would probably be an encouraging sign, I would think.
Although mentioning the script, he did say that they're currently rewriting the script. And Jim Fan, I'm kind of curious, what was your take when he talked about rewriting it?
We're rewriting the script, is all he said.
I mean, I didn't really think much of it at all because it was such, it just felt like such a very brief offhand comment. It's like, I guess it depends on how much you choose to read into that. I didn't really read into any of that at all. It just means, to me, it just means they're still working on it. That doesn't mean they have completely ditched something and gone with something new. That doesn't necessarily mean they've gone with new script writers. It just means they're still working on it.
Yeah, I got about the same. And a few people did, though. A few people had went, no, I love David McGee. Or, well, I haven't read it, but I love, it sounded like David McGee wrote a great script. And they're just going to throw it away? That's not what I took from it.
Yeah, I mean, Rose Tree Dryad says she's not thrilled to hear that they're rewriting the script. This was in the forum. And she said she had a lot of hope and confidence, partly because McGee was helming the script. And so my thought on this is, okay, look, scripts are rewritten all the time. Yeah, I mean, if you understand, like the Lord of the Rings
so
script.
Fluid.
I mean, you know, we keep talking about Lord of the Rings, but we're, you know, I have a lot of knowledge of Lord of the Rings because I have the extended version and I watched everything. But they were rewriting it almost daily, like little tweaks here and there, like, oh, you know what, this scene doesn't work so well, you know, let's take this dialogue in this direction. So it'd be really odd to me if he said, you know, we haven't really touched the script in the last 6 months. That would be very odd to me.
Yeah, I think most writers never really finish. They just run out of time. There's never a point where you go, oh, this is absolutely perfect. There's just a point where it gets ripped out of your cold hands because they have to start filming.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so when I read that was my sense of it is, oh, so they're still working on it. That's a total non-surprise. But I can understand why some would be sensitive to him talk, oh, yeah, we're tweaking the script, and especially using a word like rewriting, which like you said, Jim Fan, he said it in a very casual way. I don't think we have to take that absolutely literally. Once again, it's the question of how literally do we take him, just like when he used the word trilogy and when he used the word battle. But I think we're very sensitive to that because that seems like it was a big thing with Don Shredder, where it's every few weeks, oh, so-and-so has been hired as another writer. And it seemed to be a symptom of no one with Don Shredder really having a clear vision. No one really steering the ship, no pun intended. It was just a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Oh, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? So I think I can understand Narni Webbers, who felt that way about Don Shredder, who are very sensitive to that. Just hearing him say something like, oh, we're rewriting the script, and going, no, 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 no. So, yeah, I think it just means they're still working on it. Of course, it's never perfect. Even when they finish, of course, it's never perfect. I don't think it's something to freak out over at this stage. I'm still worried about the possibility of eventually, oh, we're going to start hearing about all these other writers that come in to do punch-up. But for now, I think we're fine.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
We'll get back to the discussion shortly. I'm William O'Flaherty. This is a C.S. Lewis Minute. If C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters is one of your favorites, you probably know quite a few names of the devils mentioned in that book. See if you remember all of them. Besides the obvious Wormwood and his affectionate uncle Screwtape, there are six other demons named in the devilish correspondence. We are told the head of the training college is Slubgob, for whom Screwtape has no fondness. Glubos is a colleague of Wormwood who is in charge of the patient's mother. Slumtrumpet is the demon who tries to complicate the life of the main character's girlfriend. A middle-aged couple mentioned in the story is under the influence of Twiptwees. Toadpipe is identified as the scribe of Screwtape. And finally, Scabtree is only mentioned in passing. Learn more about C.S. Lewis by visiting my website, EssentialCSLewis.com.
The most interesting thing to me out of this whole interview, I felt like it clarified a lot, was where he said, the person basically said, is this going to be visually different because it's a new studio? And he said, no, I don't want it to look like the other films. I want an audience to look at The Silver Chair and think, this is a whole new vision of The Chronicles of Narnia. In fact, I don't even want to reference the other films. Now, my thought, of course, is reference artistically, like have the same props, say, in the background or something like that.
Okay.
That, because obviously you're referencing the other stories. That's unavoidable if you're going to do a faithful adaptation. So my take on that was, it was very visual because it was in the context of a visually different film. I thought that kind of gave a new meaning to his whole, you know, the reboot discussion. You know, uh-huh. What was your guys' take on that?
You want to go ahead, Jim?
I'm still thinking.
Oh, okay, sure. Okay, I'll go for it then. Jim fans loading, .. So I actually, it's interesting. It makes sense because he's a visual guy. He's a visual effects kind of guy that you would interpret when he says, I don't even want to reference the other films. He says that, I can understand taking that as, oh, just like visually reference it. But I think if you read that in context, I don't know if that quite makes sense. He says, I don't want it to look like the other films. I want an audience to look at The Silver Chair and think it's a whole new vision of The Chronicles of Narnia. In fact, I don't even want to reference the other films. If he's talking visually, he's being redundant there. He's saying the same thing again. So I think he's trying to take it a step further. I think he's already said, not only do I not want it to look like the other movies, I don't even want to make reference to them. Now, inevitably, of course, Eustace will say, oh yes, I was on the Dawn Treader, Caspian was my friend, blah, blah, blah. I just think he means he doesn't want to say anything that links him specifically to the Walden movies. Number one. Now, number two, he also says at the end of that, it's like it's starting a whole new thing. I take that to mean he wants this to feel like it's not movie four, but movie one, so that you can walk into this not having seen any of the other movies and totally get it, and approach it as the first in, well, a trilogy, as he put it. So I think his main point there is that he wants us to feel like movie one.
Edmund P17 made an interesting comment. He said, it's interesting he would use the term reboot, rebooting the franchise, only to announce that it's his last movie.
Well, he didn't say reboot, did he?
I thought he used the word reboot.
I don't think Johnston ever said reboot. Let me check really quick.
Jim Finn, you were about to say something while we're fact checking my
yes. Let me
no,
check
I was
really
just
quick.
Gonna say I think I agree with Bumpuddle's assessment in that I think there's a lot of reasons why they're being very specific in how they want people to treat this like a fresh start. Like, it obviously it has connections to the Chronicles of Narnia, the books. And other books that are referenced in The Silver Chair, like Edmund's Adventures on the Dawn Treader, et cetera, et cetera. But when they reference those things in The Silver Chair, the movie, they will be referencing the books, not the movies that you have seen in the last few years. I think if this movie was being made maybe 5 years from now, I think it would be a lot easier for people to get their heads around this, just because it would have been such a long time. It's like, well, obviously this is a new thing. But because it's been relatively, and I say that with air quotes, because it actually hasn't been that short of a time. But since it's been a relatively short amount of time since Dawn Treader came out, people are still kind of lumping them all together, all the movies together in one thing. And he's like, no, guys, that's not what this is at all.
Even The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe came out 12 years ago. It's kind
of
amazing.
My
gosh.
We're sold.
Joe Johnston, as far as I can see, did not use the word reboot. He was asked about, are you rebooting? And he essentially said yes, but he didn't use that reboot. But he seems to be saying it every other way. He's saying, I want to pretend the other movies never happened in terms of the script, in terms of the story, and make this feel like it's movie one, like it's, or maybe a standalone story, which I think makes a lot of sense. I mean, I know there's a lot of people, fans, I get it. And we're the three of us, I think, are more leaning towards, just do something new and fresh. But I think probably the majority of our listeners are disappointed to ranging from disappointed to outraged that how can you abandon the other movies completely? But I think if you're one of those people that's really, no, how could they do this? This ruins everything. Just let me just ask you, what exactly are you worried about? I mean, like, I understand there's Will Poulter.
Sure.
There's the voice of Aslan. There's Trumpkin, who has a minor role. It's very little minor things. I guess the score, maybe.
Yeah.
There's really not that much. Silverchair kind of is a reboot for the Chronicles, kind of the middle book reboot of the Chronicles of Narnia as it stands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of questions. There's the reboot. Which was not a tribute, which we cannot attribute it to him, I learned just now.
I think we can call it a reboot.
So there's that question, how it will impact it. And then there's a couple times, you know, you brought up in the forum, Glumpuddle, how, well, it depends on, you know, he's used the words, you know, dark, you know, it was a very dark story, it's the darkest of the books. And then, you know, even the question of what did he mean by battle at the end? And, you know, I think
trilogy.
Are,
did he literally mean trilogy?
Fans are kind of wondering, like, Joe Sarah the Valiant says, you know, the darkest book? You know, I would say The Last Battle is much darker, but dark has never been an adjective that came to my mind when I read The Silver Chair. And then Peanut Wizard says, I guess it technically is the darkest since they're underground for half of it. I mean, that kind of summarizes, I think, some of what all of us are thinking, like, well, dark? Is it? No, it's not as dark as
what
The Last Battle. But I guess it is visually dark. So what does he mean by that? I don't know what your guys' takeaways were.
Didn't we talk about this already? I think, like, dark just to me means for the majority of that movie, it's just very depressing. Or the book. It's just, you know, very slow and depressing and there's not a lot of hope.
You think it's depressing?
That's what I take that away.
Which is the point. I think.
Which is the point. So that is dark.
That's the main theme of the. Yeah, that's the main theme of the book.
It's not
is
happy.
That Narnia is. It's completely without hope.
So you
it's
think the book is depressing, or you think they're making the movie depressing?
No, I think the book, like the book itself, like if you stop and think about it, like the tone of the book is not very like happy or cheerful or like whatever. It's just like their circumstances are depressing, and there's not a lot of hope.
Yeah. It starts out with, it was a dull autumn day and Jill Pole was crying behind the gym, and it's gray and it's rainy, and then the whole term ahead of them with bullies, you know, giving them a hard time.
Bullied and then Eustace falls off a cliff, and Cassian dies.
To me, it's just both Jill, Eustace, and Narnia are in this completely hopeless state where just, oh my gosh, just weeks ahead of school, where we're at the bottom of this food chain at these bullies, just, oh my gosh, it's just never going to end. And they go to Narnia, and they're expecting the king to die without an heir shortly. So I would say, I don't know if it's the, I mean, I would, when I think of dark books, I tend to think of The Last Battle, because there's so many things that happen in there that you just did not think could happen in Narnia. But I think it's the it's perfectly fine to give, and again, what does dark actually mean? We could talk about that. But I think we should, as I've talked about before, the Silver Chair, for the story to really work, you do have to sell the complete and utter despair that Narnia feels and that Jill feels, so that you can have the payoff at the end when Caspian is restored and ultimately comes back to life. So you have to really sell that. So I really hope they do that. I hope that's what it is. And I hope it's just not, oh, we have to do the dark, gritty reboot. That's what we got to do. We're going to make Narnia like it's the dark Narnia just so for the sake of being dark. And I think a lot of times, like in my opinion, like with Batman v Superman, and I think a lot of movies, a lot of blockbusters we see, they're dark because dark is cool. It's not because there's like a reason in the story. Like I watch, there's a lot of movies I watch where they're dark, and I just, like a BVS, Batman vs Superman, where I just think, why is everyone so sad? Like everyone's just pissed off all the time. Why? And it's not like it's really a reason for it, just because it's cool, because dark is in. So I hope what he means is it's that's how you tell the Silver Chair story, which is you have to sell the darkness, not, oh, it's gonna look dark and it's gonna look gritty and that's cool.
Because I'm Batman.
I just don't know. I just don't know. I hope that's not it, just because it is in vogue.
Darkness, no parents.
I mean,
because you know, if she's
not
the only
all
char-
movies
she's the only
going
human
dark
character.
These days.
No, I just no, but
she's
I,
the only human character
whose
parents are never mentioned.
I mean, have you seen Thor Ragnarok? I mean,
yes, you're right. Not everyone's going that direction. I wish we didn't have to compare Narnia to the latest, you know, cookie cutter blockbusters that are coming out. Because I don't want Narnia to go that direction.
No,
but
I can't. They're
easy examples to go because most people have seen them.
Yes.
So here's an important question. After this little slew of news, how are you both feeling about the film? More optimistic? Less optimistic? Jim Fan, let's start with you.
I'm more feeling like, oh, it's actually working on actually getting made. I still,
can I quote
the jury's out. Like, I have no positive, negative opinion whatsoever. I'm just still in a state of, oh, they're actually making this thing. So, jury's out.
I mean, there's a poll on the homepage right now asking people, what are your expectations for the Silver Chair currently? Right now, 39%, with 39%, the leading choices overall, I'll probably like it. And then in second place, with 36%, we have people who are very excited and think it's going to be awesome. I voted with 11% of Narnia Webbers and voted for, should be okay, I guess, is my thinking right now. It just kind of because it's an uphill battle. I mean, how many times have they brought something back after it's been gone for a really long time and made an outright sequel to it, and it was really awesome? I know we had Blade Runner recently, which I loved. I really loved Blade Runner.
And did fantastic at the box office. Oh, wait. No, that was the latest Transformers.
No, it didn't. Oh, gosh. So it does happen occasionally. But I have to acknowledge, it's a long shot. Very rarely do they bring back a franchise that's been interrupted and it's better than it was before. And I think Joe Johnston sounds like he'll do okay, but he doesn't really have that special spark of, ooh, I want to see that movie. I think David McGee sounds like a really good choice. So at the moment, I'm expecting, everything I've heard so far sounds like it'll be okay, but I'm still waiting for something to come along to make me go, wow, I really am excited about this. How does this affect it? I guess this just reinforces the perception for me that even though I was hoping for kind of a smaller independent film kind of Narnia, that I think they're steering this in sort of the big blockbuster direction. It doesn't mean it'll be a bad film. For me, it just means it probably won't be a great one. That's all that means for me. So I'd love to be, obviously I hope it doesn't turn out that way, and I'm still following the news every step of the way, and I'm still open to the fact that this could be awesome. But everything so far sounds okay, but I'm waiting for something that'll really get me excited.
Yeah, I think that I have a better idea, I think, of what the film is going to look like. His comments about I keep saying reboot, but his comments about, well, I want it to be entirely new. I don't want it to reference the other ones at all. That's a little more clear than I think he was in the past.
I think gives him some freedom. He does take it a step further.
Gives him, I think he's taking, and that is, as far as creativity, you know, Joe Johnson doesn't strike me as a, that sounds so mean, but a really great particularly artist. In the filmmaking world, because there's some
auteur.
Who are more, there's mm-hmm. some who are more courageous and more pushing the edges. You know, it's kind of like, you know, The Force Awakens was very enjoyable because it played in a lot of the lanes that the original trilogy carved out for it. It didn't really try to push anything new. You know, the original Star Wars trilogy, that was, they were trailblazers. They really were. They were doing things that hadn't been done before. And Force Awakens was enjoyable, and it was considered a good sequel because it followed in homage to that, but it didn't really blaze any new trails. And I don't think that the studio wanted J.J. Abrams to do that. I don't think that's really a criticism of Abrams as much. So the one thing on the creativity note that gives me encouragement, I'm probably more encouraged now because obviously a good a new reboot, whatever term you want to use, that could be good. It could be bad. It could be, you know, it could be a worse look for Narnia. We don't know. That's not the issue. For me, it tells me he's wanting to do something beyond the mold of what was already set out for him, because there's a lot of material he could have drawn from.
Okay.
And so that's the one thing here that I would say is a positive note on the creativity. Doesn't mean it's going to end up being good or bad, but it tells me that Johnson is willing to say, you know what, I could have just continued with what other directors have done before me, but I'm going to go ahead and do something new. Doesn't mean it'll be better than the other ones. Doesn't mean it'll be worse.
But it gives it the possibility. There's the hope that it could be.
It's a little more his baby. It's a little more his baby, and as opposed to him just coming along and saying, "Okay, yeah, I'll just continue this cash cow."
Yeah. So at the same time, yeah. I understand. Well, not that much of a cash cow, but unfortunately, but
no, it's not. But but better than say starting off an entirely new fantasy series role.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
I can understand where if you really enjoyed those Walden movies, I totally understand being really disappointed, especially if you've been waiting for a really long time for news on the Silver Chair, and then you find out, oh, that they're just throwing all that away. I can understand being really disappointed about that.
Oh, and there was so much
and
good
if that's
there. There was a lot of good there, like especially the Weta side of it.
Yeah. You know. Sure, but I think, again, just to, if you're listening to this and you're so disappointed that it seems like they're just chucking out the other movies, just bear in mind, what exactly are you disappointed you're going to lose? The voice of Aslan, Will Poulter, Trumpkin, a small role by Ben Barnes, Harry Gregson-Williams' score, I guess. Yeah. That's really it. Like, the Silver Chair really is, in some ways, a fresh start. And like I've said before, I think it does kind of work as a standalone. Impending Doom wrote, he commented that the book provides the perfect opportunity to accomplish both sequel and reinvention. And I agree with that. I think you can essentially reboot Narnia. You can do it organically, to where it's still kind of a spiritual sequel to the other movies, but it's taking it off in its own direction at the same time. And bottom line, I just want to see, like, my reason for being into this movie in the first place is because I read The Silver Chair. And it's a good book, and I think it has the chance of being a good movie.
Oh, definitely.
So, I'm not worried about setting up the other movies that much. To me, it's just, I just wish they would take Chronicles of Narnia out of the title and just call this The Silver Chair. I just want to see a story about Jill Pohl that is in this hopeless situation, has to go off on a journey, has to trust the signs in order to learn how to trust. And I just want to see a story about that. And I'm not that worried about having to acknowledge the other movies or set up future ones or anything like that. I just want to see a good movie called The Silver Chair.
Mm. That, I think, is what we all want to see. I think we can all in agreement in that.
Not necessarily.
We all want to see a good movie.
Oh, we all want to see a good movie, yes. But I think a lot of people want to see... No, like, I think it was... commented on the
they want
the
to
story.
Yeah, was, like, see it all tie in together.
Yeah, Just Queen. It was Narnie Weber, Just Queen, Not High Queen, saying they wrote that, I want to see Narnia 4, not just an adaptation of The Silver Chair. And for me, at this point, it's just, I just like The Silver Chair, and I want to see The Silver Chair.
Because
that's how
we saw
I personally
how Narnia
feel.
3 turned out, which wasn't amazing.
And the three of us here didn't like Narnia 3, the movie. Yeah. So we're fine with kind of starting over. But either way, I mean, like... the Seven Chronicles and Narnia books are all very different and distinct, and I like that. So I'm totally fine with The Silver Chair being distinct and feeling like something fresh.
We will see. Maybe this time next year we will have all the answers, or at least we'll be starting doing spy reports filming. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means we won't have any answers at all.
Well, guys, thanks for going over this with me.
Yes, very fun. Just like old times.
Well, hang on. Before we go, we have to... Nice try, Jim Fan. You're going to let him close us out there.
Oh, yes.
But we've got to try to stump a Narnie Weber here. Jim Fan, are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right. This question was submitted by DuffelHunter01, smiley face. That's the screen name. Jim Fan, in The Silver Chair book... How many times does Puddleglum say, "I shouldn't wonder"?
I have no idea.
obviously, this is a total guess. I don't expect you to... I could give you the option to quickly count them in the book. But if you can just...
As I have an ebook, I wonder if it has a search feature.
No. Cheating. That's why you didn't want your webcam on. Okay.
Yeah. No, I have no idea. If I was going to go for a sound round guess... I could just give a... I'll just give a guess, a random guess that I have no idea if it's correct or not, and let's see how far off it is. My random guess would be maybe 25.
So you're saying that Puddleglum says, "I shouldn't wonder," 25 times? Is that your final answer?
That's my best guess. Somewhere in that range.
Well, Jim Fan, that is not correct.
Oh, shocker.
It's actually 23, though.
Whoa, oh, so close.
Close.
So not bad.
I am impressed with myself.
Good job.
Way more impressed than I should be.
If this is Price is Right rules, though, I think if you go over, I think it's the closest
lose.
Without going over.
Dun, dun,
so
dun.
Since you went over, you go back to zero. Oh, I'm great. Sorry.
Well, it's okay because all my other guesses were like way over 25. Ooh. So this was actually my low guess.
Ooh, you probably just did a word search. I shouldn't wonder.
No, I would have been way more accurate with a word search. Are you kidding?
Oh, you just added two to throw us off. I see. Very clever.
Yes, of course.
Listeners, if you want to submit a trivia question, just email podcast@narniweb.com and include stump in the subject. And you can now include the answer as well, by the way, because the Rose Tree Dryad is now in charge of the stump question and answer, so you don't have to worry about us getting an advanced look at the question. So now you can include the question and the answer.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.